Bible study vault and pull out a whole Bible study for Sunday school this morning. And I kept thinking about one in my heart that I wanted to teach again. So I have all these wonderful Bible studies that maybe you weren't here that day and you missed it. Or maybe you weren't a member of our class that day and you weren't even here to hear it. So good Bible studies bear repeating. Amen. So this morning I'm going to do sort of a life study. It's a study on us loving and caring for one another. I love for our class, our motto is, we're the Sunday school class who cares. I'm going to be sharing about a situation at the end of my study today where you will have a chance to care and to love for someone. And that's what being a body is all about. Amen. We're kind of low this morning because of the bad weather. And because nobody had power, but I'm so glad you're here. God has you here this morning. And so let's let God's word bless our hearts. Let's pray together. Oh, by the way, we've got several visitors this morning. Welcome to our visitors. We're glad you're here. Hope you'll come back. So introduce yourself to someone that you don't recognize. And you'll be like me. I'll say, oh, you're visiting. They say, no, I've been here for years. Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
You know, you're like, oh, I'm so sorry.
You know.
I'm not good at recognizing. I don't remember faces. You know, I think I have this, some kind of disability about that. I don't know what it is, but I'm bad about that. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Gina, we're glad to see you this morning. Glad you made it. Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump right into our lesson. It's a long handout, but it's going to go really fast. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for protecting us during bad weather. Thank you for sparing Brooke Hagman. Father, we pray this morning as we come to your word, as we come to this new year. I love fresh starts. Time to really think about ourselves, our relationship with you, our relationship with others. And really and truly, that's all that matters, how we relate to you and how we relate to others. And so this morning, may the year that lies before us be one that is a year that is filled with loving you and loving others well. And I pray that you will bless us this morning for gathering together, and I pray that you'll speak into our lives. I pray that you'll speak personally into our lives, because we've entered in this room and we're needy women, and we have many, many burdens on our heart this morning. And so, Father, we want to lay our burdens at your feet, and we want to give attention to your word, that it might encourage our hearts, that we might be built up. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to talk. Our lesson is called Sister to Sister. We're going to be talking about friendship. We're going to be talking about caring for one another in the body of Christ. So let's start out by taking some notes. Four crucial truths that are pertaining to friendships or to relationships. Here's the first one for you to jot down. Friends are essential and they're not optional. Does everybody have a handout? Anybody need one? Good. Friends are essential and not optional. And here's another thought about friends. Friends must be cultivated. They must be cultivated. They are not automatic. So that takes a lot of time, doesn't it? And three, write this down. Friends impact our lives. They are not neutral. Who you're friends with is very important, because that friend is going to bring an effect on you. Now, friends come in three classifications. So let's write these down. In our relationships, in our lives, there are some who are, number one, just acquaintances. There are people who, our lives are full of these types of people. It's people that we meet, people that we briefly know. We know their name, we see them. A lot of people in our church, they're acquaintances. We don't know them closely, but we know them, right? All right, number two, then there are casual friends. And those are friends that we might see weekly or monthly or occasionally. Casual friends. And then there are, number three, close friends. And these are the people that we spend some amount of time with in our life. We get to know them well. We get to know the details of their life. We know the names of their children, the names of their grandchildren. We know where they work, where their husbands work. In all honesty this morning, as we're just thinking about this, how many of you would really like to grow deeper in your relationships with one another? We all want and need friendships in our lives. Let's write this down. Life is all about people, and life is all about relationships. People and relationships. I think friendships are particularly a big need among women. Deep friendships. And I think they're very needy in the body of Christ. It's actually, in the Bible, a biblical mandate for the older women to be sharing their lives with the younger women around them. And there's such a big disconnect, isn't there? That's why I love our class, because we're older women and younger women together in our class. Write this down. Isolation is one of the greatest tools that Satan uses. Is that not true? You know, in my life, being from a dysfunctional background, having a father who was an alcoholic, our home was a closed home. I did not bring my friends into my home. Only the ones who knew my story. And it affected my relationships because there was no reciprocation where I got invited and then I invited back. You just never knew what the temperature of my home was going to be. It was volatile. And my life, because of that, I feel like it was full of a lot of gaps. I was from an unchurched background. I wasn't completely unchurched, but for the most part, our family wasn't a great big church family. I married, I taught school for 2 years, and then I had 5 children in 7 years. Now, can you just tell me who's going to invite you and your husband and their 5 children over? Right, Gina? For supper. I mean, even if you went over and you had 5 children in 7 years and they're all little, you wouldn't get to say a word to your friends because you're so busy keeping the children from destructing the house that you're in. It doesn't lend itself to social interaction. We'd have to get a babysitter, invite friends, go somewhere else. During that season when they all were teenagers, I taught in the youth, and so wasn't even in an adult Sunday school class. I was with teenagers all the time. And you have to be intentional about building friendships. Satan loves to get you isolated from the body. You see, the toe was meant to be attached to the foot. And if the toe gets cut off and put in a corner by itself, it will shrivel and die. But hooked into the body, your toe's a very important part of your life. I mean, just stub your big toe and you'll realize. Or break your big toe. Have you ever broken a toe? It affects your whole life. I read that the neighborhood bar is probably the best counterfeit there is to the fellowship Christ wants the church to have. It's an imitation. It's dispensing liquor instead of grace. It's dispensing an escape rather than reality. But the environment of a neighborhood bar is a permissive, acceptive, sort of inclusive fellowship. And it flourishes not because people are alcoholics. It flourishes because God has put in the human heart the desire to know others and to be known by others. And so many people seek the counterfeit at just the price of a few beers. Remember that TV show, Cheers? If you're young, you probably don't know about that show. But it was a really big show when I was a young adult and a teenager. But the theme song said this. It was all around a bar. And the name of the show was Cheers. It's a place where you can go where everybody knows your name and the troubles are all the same. And you see, that's what that cohesiveness that was felt there. We are created by God to be connected for fellowship. And when you think about the church, the New Testament compares the church, as I said, to a body, and we're to be connected. We need each other. I need what you have, you need what I have. Here's a little ditty I got out of the book that I'm pulling this study from. In the dim and distant past, when life's tempo wasn't fast, Grandma used to rock and knit, crochet, tat, and babysit. Grandma now is at the gym, exercising to keep slim. Now she's golfing with the bunch, taking clients out to lunch, going north to ski and curl, and all her days are in a whirl. Nothing seems to stop or block her now that Grandma's off her rocker. I like that. I put this quote on your handout by James Dobson. He was a voice in my generation. And this is what he said. The breakdown in families is because there's a loss of connection woman to woman. And times are tough. We're mobile. We meet ourselves coming and going. We're living at a very hectic pace, even in little old Brookhaven. I'm glad we don't live in Jackson where we have to go 30 minutes here and 30 minutes there. At least we have shorter routes. Let's look at some scripture. Look at Ephesians 3:17 on your handout. Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and that you may be being rooted and grounded in love. So we're rooted and we're grounded together in Him. Let's look at the word rooted for a minute. What does that word in the Greek mean? It means to be strengthened, so write that down. It means to be strengthened, to be firmly fixed, to be constant. And then the word grounded, what does that mean? That's pretty mean. That's okay. The word grounded means to be laid down as a foundation stone. So we're rooted. We're rooted together. We're grounded together in Christ. And yet, if we're not careful, we lose our togetherness. We lose connecting face to face, heart to heart, sister to sister. So becoming closer in our relationships with each other is going to have to be an intentional thing. And I want to challenge you to make it an intentional thing in 2025. And the reason we do it is because you and I are created for community. And we need each other. Look at 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, John says, as He Himself is in the light, speaking of Jesus, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That Greek word for fellowship there, I never know exactly how to pronounce it. I always just say koinonia. but I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation. But what does that word in the Greek mean? It means this. It means to share in communion. Or it could mean this. Let's expand it a little bit. It could mean intimate conversation. The definition includes the idea of imparting our very selves in the lives of other people. It's not being independent. It's not being codependent. But rather, write this down, it's being interdependent. Not independent, not codependent, but interdependent. Just sharing your lives, mutually sharing, you're giving, you're receiving. Write this down. It's making healthy investments in someone else's life. Now let's look at some scriptures together that show us this. Let's start with Ephesians 4:25. That says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. According to this verse, you and I are members of one another. God gives members of his body directives for living through the one another's of the Bible. Let's pull out some of the one another's of the Bible. Start with Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Galatians 5:13. Through love, serve one another. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly or sisterly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Romans 15:7, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Romans 15:14, admonish one another. We're not good at that. I'm not. 1 Peter 1:22, fervently love one another from the heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another, build up one another, just as you also are doing, Paul says. And then James says this in chapter 5, verse 6, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Romans 14:7. For not one of us lives for himself and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. You see, because you and I are in the body of Christ together, we're intertwined. We are the family of God together. And, you know, we have a large class. And, you know, my prayer for our class is that we will be reaching out and connecting with each other. I can't make that happen. I have to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to make that happen. For you to get out of your comfort zone and meet someone and get interested in someone and ask questions, get to know them. You're going to have to take initiative to do this. You're going to have to get out of your mainstream, go here. You're going to have to be intentional and stop and let God lead you. And let's get to know each other. You see, if our class, the more interconnected we become, the more people will want to come to our class and hear the word of God taught. Love is so unbelievably irresistible. It just cannot be refused. And by us loving one another well, which includes us extending friendship, being intentional. There are two examples in nature that illustrate this beautifully. For example, the Colorado aspen tree. They don't grow alone. All of the trees are connected together by their root system. Also, have any of you been to California to the redwood forest and you've seen the giant redwoods? They're absolutely breathtaking. They are the oldest living things and the largest living things on the earth. They can tower some 300 feet into the sky, and they're huge. They're just absolutely huge. And yet, they are so huge, and their roots are very, very shallow because they're going out shallow trying to draw in as much water as they can, and they're intertwining their roots with all the trees that are around them. And with their roots all locked together, they support each other in the winds and the storms that come. That is how God has designed the body of Christ to be. We're to be closely connected so that we can weather the storms of life, while at the same time, as we're weathering the storms, we're growing taller and we're growing stronger in our faith. I think of my earthly family. I have three sisters, and we have quite a connection. We've been through a lot together. We know each other really, really well. We have so much fun when we're together. And, you know, we get together, and it's just like we pick up right where we left off. Same way in the spiritual family. We're to be strengthening, encouraging each other, receiving support from each other, sharing our joys with each other, establishing meaningful relationships. They immensely enrich our lives. Carolyn's not here this morning, but several years ago, probably over 20 years ago, we were doing mentoring in our church, kind of a formal mentoring program. And we did it for maybe, say, 5 or 6 times. And she was real involved in it. She said, I feel like at the end you would stand up and talk about your relationship with your mentee, somebody you didn't know before, but you were going to be very intentional about meeting with her and getting to know her. And she just stood up and said, and I've never forgot it, that she said she felt like every time she got connected with another woman, it was like a new gift. And it was so unique, and she said, it's like a new gift that I'm getting to unwrap every time, and it's been such an enriching experience. So you and I, we live close in the same town. We go to the same church. We're in the same Sunday school class. Perfect recipe for us to build relationships. Look at Ephesians 2:19 on your handout. It says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of God's household. Now, I want you to underline that word fellow. You are fellow citizens. Now, this is an interesting word in the Greek. We're fellow citizens. Scripture also calls us fellow soldiers, fellow saints, fellow workers. That word fellow in the Greek is a little word called S-U-N, and it's pronounced soon in the Greek. Here's what it means. It means together with. It implies a nearer and closer connection. So write that down. And it also implies a more intimate relationship. Now think with me. Are we closely connected, or are we together with the body of Christ, intimate with each other? That Greek word S-U-N for fellow is used 127 times in Scripture. I think I put that on your handout. And when it's used, it's telling us something. It's telling us how to be together closely connected, intimately connected. Now let's compare this little word with another Greek word for fellow. That word is a different word. It's the word meta, M-E-T-A. Now the word meta means amid or among. So one is intimate and one is just like we're together. We're amid or we're among each other, okay? Either we're soon, S-U-N, that's the word fellow that we're using here. Intimately connected. Metas use other places, just together, amid, among. So think of our class. Do you think we could use the word S-U-N to describe us, meaning very close, very connected? Or would we have to say that the women in our Sunday school class are just meta? We're together. We just come on Sunday mornings. We sit around tables. And see, what I want to happen is I want us to go from fellow Sunday school class members, S-U-N, intimate, and not be fellow Sunday school class members, meta, just together, among. That is something that God can only do. Just being amid or among each other. Scripture says we're fellows, so let's just change that word to fellowettes, okay? Fellowettes. I believe there's a greater need now more than ever for women to be supported and connected. Sister to sister. We're living in stressful days, difficult days. And it's so rich walking through life with others who have the same goals as you do, who want to grow deeper in Christ, who want to grow in godliness, who want to grow in their obedience to Christ, who want to grow in love and in service and in ministry. And you and I need each other more than ever before. So what are the advantages of having these kinds of relationships? Well, let's look at the advantages, the advantages of a friend. Look at Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. And also, if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who is all alone when he falls, for no one is there to help him up. Again, if two are together, they will keep warm. How can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, because a threefold cord is not easily broken. Think of a flock of geese. They fly in a V formation. And the reason they do that, you know, creation is so amazing, but they do that because in that formation, as they fly that way, as each bird is flapping its wings, it's creating an uplift for the bird right behind it. And they say they get 70% greater flying range flying this way than if the bird was flying alone. And here's the deal. If something happens to the lead goose, if he gets tired or he gets sick or he gets shot and he falls from the formation to the ground, two other birds will follow him and stay with him until he is recovered. And then they'll join the next formation of birds. When that lead goose falls from the formation, then one that's in the back, who's been getting the easy road, he'll come up and take the place of the lead bird. See, they're just working together. Look at Proverbs 11:4. Without guidance, people fall, but with many counselors, there is deliverance. Look at 13:14. For a wise man, instruction is a fountain of life, turning people away from the snares of death. You and I were not made for isolation. Now here's another thought to think about. There's another advantage of building sisters into our lives, and we found this in the book of James. Let's read that. And there it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You see, when you have intimate fellow sisters that you trust, you have a safe place where you can go and receive support, and someone can pray with you, and someone can pray for you, and it's a place where you can be honest, and you can confess your sins to one another, and you receive the healing you need. You get the spiritual support you need. There's real strength in togetherness, and we're not nearly as vulnerable to our enemy as we were before. Now, there are times in life when maybe I'll be the strong one in your life, and then just give it a little time, and I'll need a strong one, and you'll be the strong one for me. That's how it works. And Romans calls it the weaker and the stronger vessels. So we want to grow in godliness. We want to grow in Christ-likeness. We want to grow in love. It doesn't matter if you're a brand new Christian or if you're a seasoned saint. All that matters is that we're walking together in the right direction, linking our arms together, sister to sister. I'm helping you, you're helping me, and together we're better. We're just Jesus friends, and we're growing as we walk the Christian journey together, encouraging each other. How's your prayer time? What's God saying to you in your Bible study, in your quiet time? I'm sharing my faith with you. I've got a God story. You're not going to believe what happened. You've got a God story. I'm not going to believe what happened. That's what I wish and I pray would happen in our Sunday school class. That we'd get to know each other well. We'd share our testimonies. Don't let this scare you if you're timid and shy. No one's going to ever put you on the spot. You can be a Lone Ranger Christian if you want to be. You still can go to heaven. But you miss so much if you don't connect with the body of Christ. So hopefully this lesson will create a desire in you to be real and authentic with each other, to get to know each other better. So look at my crazy, that's an iceberg on your hand out there. If you didn't know. And you see, what's visible, if you're in a boat looking at that iceberg, you only see the tip. And that's like your life. People look at me, they just see the tip. That's just all. But there's a whole nother big, huge part of me under the water. And that's the real me. And that's the hidden me. Remember the Titanic? It wasn't what you could see that sunk that ship, it was what was hidden underneath, below the surface. And so in our conversations with each other, we're so surface, we're the tip. There's so much depth there for us to share with each other. I'm always amazed at how much women will talk about their childbirth. They will share the most unbelievable stories. I'm like, I don't think I really needed to know that, you know, but anyway. But there's so much more to us that's underneath for us to share. We like to talk about shopping. We like to talk about our clothes, our shoes, our houses, our children, our grandchildren. I really like to talk about my grandchildren. We don't have a problem chatting. It's when we go beneath the surface, but that's where the real connection comes. Is when we share. Now, I'm a transparent person. I probably overshare. But my idea is if what I've been through can help you, if what I've been through and Christ has healed me, he can heal anybody. I would love to see this happen in our Sunday school class. Taking Titus 2 very seriously. At letting the older woman become very, very interested in our younger women and seeking to build bridges and to build relationships. Look around this room. How many of you would be willing for someone to contact you and say, I need to talk to somebody. I need a safe place. I would be happy for anyone to call me. You say, have you ever just been going through a hard place? You need to talk to somebody? I remember one time having a severe crisis just recently. And I just called this lady and I said, I need a safe place. I don't need you to tell me anything. I just need to tell this story. And I need you to pray for me. And she did. And she said, I'm not going to tell anybody that story. I'm in a safe place. Are you safe for someone to do that with you? I just see so many godly women sitting in this room for us to connect. And then it's fun if you say, hey, I'm going to Buds and Blooms. You want to go? That is one of my favorite places. We don't have to get into heavy below the surface iceberg stuff. We can just go out to Buds and Blooms and have therapy together. Because that's what Buds and Blooms is like. It's like pure therapy. Or you want to go with me to Jackson. Or you want to go with me here. Don't be a Lone Ranger Christian. All right, a few more thoughts and then we're going to be done. Here are some things, if we're going to share our lives with others, that we're going to need to have in our life. So the first thing is this. It's honesty. Is that right? I think so. Honesty. Look at Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him, Christ, who is our head, even Christ. Honesty is not about me telling you what I think. If it were, I would tell a lot of women, you need to get out of the house of that sucker. He's really bad news. I can't tell women that because that's not biblical. Honesty means I tell you what God's Word says. Sometimes that's hard. Honesty is not me giving someone a piece of my mind. It's me being carefully prayerful and thinking about what God would have me say, making sure what my words say line up with what His Word says. And when someone says, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this issue? I want to give my response according to the Word of God. I've got to find out what God's Word is, His mind on the matter. The truth is, God's Word is the thing that changes our lives. God's Word is the thing that brings peace into our hearts. And so I can offer a safe place where you come and together we speak truth into one another's lives. And that's what really matters. And I'm encouraged. And I'm built up. Here's another thing necessary. It's humility. And 1 Peter commands this. Clothe yourselves with humility. Paul says in Romans, esteem another person better than yourself. That's humility. And when I'm looking at another person and I decide to esteem her over myself, to give her needs my priority, to care about what's going on in her life, then I'll get into God's Word with her to look for answers. That's humility. The next one, trustworthiness. It's so disappointing when you share your love only to have your trust broken. And it's very painful. And so you've got to be very trustworthy. There's a general rule that I learned that I like. If it's not my story, it's not my story to tell. Let each of us tell our own stories. Now, I want to close with the story of our Sunday school class. Several months ago, an elderly lady named Donna Bridges came to our Sunday school class. She's a sweet little, very shy, gray-haired lady. She has absolutely no one. She's alone. She has a brother that lives way off in North Dakota or South Dakota, one of the Dakotas. And she had a hip replacement right before Thanksgiving and was doing beautifully, was driving, everything, and then she fell. And she hurt some vertebrae in her back. She ended up in the St. Dominic's Hospital for a week. They released her to a nursing home in our area where she stayed for 20 days. She got really bad. Her feet went this way. She couldn't walk. She had to walk on her tiptoes, and she was not receiving the care she needed. No one was taking care of her. No one was seeing about her. I didn't know about it. We didn't know about it. And so after 20 days, this facility said, I'm sorry, your days are up, you've got to leave. She had nowhere to go. No one to care for her. She couldn't walk. Some ladies in our Sunday school class. Oh, by the way, this happened on the 23rd of December. You've got to leave. And so some ladies in our class took her to St. Dominic's emergency room. They picked her up at the facility, and they took her right to the emergency room, and she was admitted. She's there right now. And, you know, and so we don't know what's going to happen with her, but I'm telling you, she called her brother in the Dakotas, whichever one, and he said, well, good luck. In other words, I can't help you. So there are big needs right here in our Sunday school class with Donna Bridges. And not to mention, she has her one and only little Yorkie dog that is elderly too. And so to have her surgery, she had put him into a place to be boarded. Guess what her bill is? This has been going on now for since Thanksgiving. How much, Bess? About $900. So Babs has been taking care of getting money to handle the dog. We're going to try to negotiate with the vet to see if they will lessen her bill. But it's expensive to board a dog. This is her baby. It's the only person she has. She needs someone who would foster her dog while she's recovering, but we don't have anybody right now. So this is a huge need that's facing our, and Mignon has so beautifully just picked up and helped, and Sandra and Catherine Martin took her to Jackson. Oh, and here's another part of the story. Her clothes were stolen at the facility. And so when she was released in a hospital gown. And Sandra went and bought her clothes. You see, she needs the body. Right. She needs the body. So if you want to get involved with helping Donna Bridges, see Bass, see Sandra, see Mignon, and say, put me on the list to help. I don't know what that's going to look like, but we're just, right now she's in St. Dominic's. They're trying to get to the bottom of why her feet have gone straight and she can't walk. So many needs around us. Just open your eyes. So that is our lesson for today as we go into 2025. I'm praying God will make us knit our hearts together in love, that we care for each other well, that we really be the Sunday school class that cares and loves well. Amen. Amen. Real quick, because we're out of time. Aaron. That is a lady that's in our class who doesn't come because she is on chemotherapy, and so she kind of stays out of crowds, but her mother died. That's another thing. Yes, thank you, Erin. If you didn't, I put that on Oasis Facebook page. All right, let's pray real quick, and let's go. Our Father, thank you for giving us such an encouraging exhortation out of Scripture this morning. I ask you, Father, through your Holy Spirit, Would you do what you can do, only you can do? Knit our hearts together in love as we serve you together here in this church. I pray that we would truly be the class who loves well, who cares well, who serves with their whole heart, who are seriously taking your commands and are intensely serious about being obedient women living in our day. So I pray your blessing on our friend Donna. I pray, God, your provision for her and her little dog. We pray for Teresa today as she is burying her mother today. We ask you to just fill her with strength, give her an extra measure of grace, and bless her. And Father, we pray now for Brother Greg as he starts this new series, Walking in the Spirit, today. And I pray you will speak further to us as we go to worship together. And we just bless your name and praise you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please. See you next week.